If you're one of 10,000 people who will turn 65 today, you're probably at least thinking of retiring. For federal employees, this brings complicated choices about health care insurance options. As open season draws to a close, retirement benefits expert Tammy Flanagan joins me to sort out some of the Medicare-related questions. Tammy, good to have you back.
Hi, Tom. Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Tammy, Medicare is something that seems simple to think about, but really hard to figure out. What are some of the choices federal employees need to think about when they're turning 65 and they are eligible for some parts of Medicare?
You're right, Tom. Medicare is simple to think about because we've been paying the Medicare tax pretty much our whole career. But yet, when we turn 65, especially for federal employees and retirees, there's a lot of confusion as to whether or not we need Medicare along with our federal employees' health benefits. You know, as most people know, federal employees' health insurance is very good coverage, and you have plenty of choices to choose from, anywhere from HMO-type coverage to fee-for-service to high option and low option. And this coverage will continue with federal employees into retirement. So one of the big questions that comes up when people turn 65 who have retired from federal service is whether or not they need to enroll in Medicare Part B. The Part A coverage is what people have paid into through their payroll tax. So at age 65, there's no premium for Part A, but that only covers hospital insurance, and it does work well with FEHB or federal employees' health benefits. But it's that Part B of Medicare that has a premium, and next year that premium starts out at $135.50 a month, and then it goes up from there based on income. So there are some federal retirees with higher income who will pay a lot more than just that going rate. And that's a monthly premium per person that you pay in addition to your federal health insurance premium. And that federal health benefit premium can run anywhere from $250 a month and up. The average price for a retiree on self plus one coverage is somewhere between $300 and $600 a month for health insurance. So they wonder whether or not to add that extra $135 times two if it's a married couple.
Yeah, that puts you well into a good condo fee in terms of monthly payment. Well, let me ask you this. If you have your FEHBP coverage and you're paying however much it costs, do you also get Medicare Part A, which is hospitalization, as you mentioned? Isn't that covered by your FEHBP? So then the only question is whether to add Medicare B, or what am I missing?
That's right. Yeah, Medicare A is easy because there is no premium for it. And when a retiree goes into the hospital and they have their federal health benefits and they also have Medicare Part A, in many cases, they pay no out-of-pocket expense for their inpatient room and board and nursing fees. So sure, it's definitely worth adding Part A, especially since there's no fee or premium to do so. But with the Part B coverage, that's what covers outpatient care, doctor visits, lab work, physical therapy, durable medical equipment, that things that people may need as we get older and we develop a chronic illness or two or three. And we wonder, you know, how much will we have to pay in out-of-pocket expenses between our deductible, the co-payments and co-insurance that we might accrue as we get older and maybe not in the best of health. So where Medicare Part B comes in is that many federal health plans will dovetail their coverage with Medicare Part B, so that the federal plan will pay first, the Medicare plan will pay first, and then your federal plan picks up the difference, and in many cases will waive their own deductibles, co-payments, and co-insurance. That leaves you with, again, no out-of-pocket expense for your outpatient care. So between Part A and Part B, you have close to 100% coverage for all of your medically necessary care, but it comes at a price, and that's what people struggle with, is whether or not to pay that extra premium, not knowing if they're going to be in good health or poor health down the road.
We're speaking with Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. It's always a gamble. I mean, that's what insurance is all about, I guess. And so if the premium for Medicare Part B is, you know, $135, $140 a month, it seems like a pretty low-priced piece of insurance. I mean, a decent wheelchair can set you back $500.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Tom, because I have a hard time convincing federal employees who are still hiking mountains and going snowboarding in the wintertime that they may, in the future, get their money's worth out of Medicare Part B. Because we look at our federal health plans as the Cadillac of all health insurance, and we feel like, why do we need extra coverage? But it is those out-of-pocket expenses, like you said, for a piece of durable medical equipment like a wheelchair. you know, your federal plan may or may not cover 85% of that or 65% of that. And that's going to still leave you with quite a bit of out-of-pocket expense. And that's just one example of many things that you may need as we get older. So again, I agree with you, Tom, that having too much insurance is maybe not such a bad idea.
How far in advance do you have to get Medicare Part B before it will start paying those kinds of expensive or potentially expensive benefits?
That's a great question. So it would seem like, why don't we just wait until we get sick and then pick up Medicare Part B, maybe when we're 80 years old or even 75. But the problem is, if you delay your enrollment in Medicare Part B past your 65th birthday, there's a 10% per year late enrollment penalty that compounds. So if you waited 5 years, you'd pay 50% more than what you would have paid had you signed up at age 65. And that penalty stays with you for the rest of your life. So you never know. So if you wait until you're 75 and you need it and you sign up and you die at 78, well, that was probably worth waiting. But what if you wait till 75 and sign up and live another 20 years? You're stuck with that penalty for the next 20 years. So it's a catch-22, because when you're 65 and healthy, it's really a hard decision to make. And what I generally suggest to people is that instead of denying or declining Medicare, why not relook at your federal health plan choices? Find a plan that works really well with Medicare. Many of those plans have a really low premium, and you can save close to the amount, if not the amount of the premium, by switching federal health plans.
In other words, it comes out of the premium for your federal health plan that you would add to your cost by buying Medicare Part B.
Right. So your fixed cost, the cost of carrying the insurance, actually stays about the same. But what does change whenever you add the Medicare to the federal plan is your out-of-pocket expenses should go way down, or possibly even down to zero.
And let me ask you this. I mean, when you look at what it is that is paid for by Medicare Part B, if the insurers as a group, and there's a lot of insurers out there, all you have to do is look at how many offer, you know, during open season for federal employees, if they all got together and said, we'll cover these things, but now, suppliers, you're going to have to deal with these collective set of 15, 20, 25, 100 companies instead of just the federal government, maybe the prices for all this junk would go down.
I think that's a question left to maybe the powers that be at OPM or Congress. That's beyond my pay grade, but that does sound like a good suggestion.
Just from an economic standpoint, a market standpoint, it seems like the more people you have badgering an industry for supplies, if there's 25 companies negotiating with 10 wheelchair or wheelie about electric gadget manufacturers, well, maybe they wouldn't be $6,000-$7,000 for some of these things, but yeah, I think I can do it for three.
Well, I think that is what's happening on the Medicare side. The durable medical equipment is where you're saying, there's big prices and a lot of competition. So Medicare now has designated providers in each area of the country that are the ones you have to go to if you want to buy your wheelchair or buy your hospital bed, so that you no longer can go to 50 different companies. You go to those designated Medicare providers.
All right. So lots of decisions to make, and not just open season, which we are now just about over with.
That's right, Tom. And it's a big, big decision. And I think it is worth spending some time on it, because you can save some money and have even better health coverage.
Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. As always, great advice. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to the Federal Drive at iTunes or Podcast One.